And we are live on Facebook here, Augusta Free Press. It's Street Knowledge. I'm Chris Graham, joined today by AFP digital editor Crystal Graham. We're going to talk about tomorrow night as we're doing this live. It's Friday, Saturday night, prime time on ACC Network, UVA number one Clemson. Big matchup for the Hoos in particular as they get their second game of 2020 in.
And their first road game, of course, Chris, the first time they're going on the road this season to Death Valley of all places. 19,000 fans going to be in attendance. That's a lot compared to the 1,000 or so that were at UVA's stadium this past weekend. So that could be interesting just from that perspective. But Chris, first I thought maybe we could talk about the last time these two teams matched up against each other. Obviously that was in the ACC championship game. You were there in December to watch that game, and it was a tough one to watch. UVA losing 62-17. Trevor Lawrence was on fire, as you'd expect, throwing for 302 yards in that game. Are we expecting more of the same in this matchup?
I hope not from the Virginia perspective. But, I mean, this is Clemson. The weapons are back. Trevor Lawrence is back. Travis Etienne, the running back, who was actually ACC Player of the Year. They had the top two candidates for ACC Player of the Year in Etienne and in Lawrence. He's back. He ran for 114 yards and a touchdown in that game. And Clemson doesn't – you know, the old saying, they don't rebuild, they reload. And they haven't even had to reload because those two guys are the key guys. You know, if there's anything that Virginia can hang on to, Virginia fans especially can hang on to heading into this one, it's that last year's game was played. I mean, it was the ACC championship game. It was the 13th game of the season for Virginia. And, you know, they played the last half of last season with so many guys on defense injured. You know, they were missing Bryce Hall. They were missing Brenton Nelson. And in that game, I think Jordan Mack played a little bit in the first quarter, but ended up not playing in the last three. And, you know, three of their key guys on defense, and they were missing other guys too from the attrition of the season. You know, the defense was supposed to be the building block for last year's team. And in the first 5-6 weeks, it was. It was the linchpin of that team. But when all those guys started going down, the offense had to kick it in gear. Fortunately for Virginia fans, they did and went on that big four-game winning streak to get into the ACC championship game. But, yeah, the defense was a shell of its former self when they met in December last year in Charlotte. And so this year, it's week two. You know, Joey Blunt was the only guy who seemed to be potentially on the injured list for this week. I don't have an injured list in college football, but, he could have been. But he seems like he's going to be a full go. He's been a full go in practice all week. And so having the senior safety, they'll have everybody. I mean, they'll have their entire two deep. They'll be as fresh as they can possibly be going into this one. So, you know, I like Virginia. It's not going to be 62-17. You know, I'm not saying that Virginia's going to stymie Clemson, stop Clemson completely, but it's not going to be 62-17 this weekend.
Yeah, I think Vegas has it right now where UVA is like a 27.5-point underdog or something like that. So definitely they don't see it as quite the blowout either. You actually wrote a column shortly after last week's game versus Duke, and you gave high marks to UVA, especially on the run game, the offensive line, the run defense. But overall, you gave them high marks across the board. Can you break down what you saw in that Duke game that gives you maybe some promise that UVA will play better this time? This time in this matchup versus Clemson.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start with the grades from last week. Offense, I gave an A- last week. You know, you have to. They had 450 yards total offense, 5.4 yards per play. They played with fast pace, areas to improve. There were 3 turnovers, 2 interceptions thrown by Brennan Armstrong. They were only 6-17 on third downs. Armstrong got better as the game went on. It was his first career start. He played in 11 games. A couple of those were meaningful. Off the bench, but this was his first start. He was 16 of 36 passing through three quarters. He was 8 for 9, though, for 144 yards, 2 touchdowns in that decisive fourth quarter. And, you know, one thing he did consistently well for the whole game was he ran the ball well. You know, offensive coordinator Robert and I had said all preseason long, hey, we're not going to change the offense just because it's not Bryce Perkins anymore. Bryce Perkins, dynamic quarterback, you know, he can really move the ball with his feet as well as with his arm. And, you know, we didn't look at Brennan Armstrong and say, wow, he looks like he'll be similar to Bryce Perkins. But they kept the offense pretty much the same. They still ran the quarterback enough. The read option's still there. So there's a lot for Clemson to have to look at. in this matchup. I gave the run game an A. The run game, the last, I mean, basically since Bronco Mendenhall got to UVA, had been a weak point for this team. But with the experienced offensive line, 188 yards on 37 carries last week, Wayne Talapapa with a career-high 95 yards on 16 carries, solid for the run game. O-line, I gave an A. Armstrong sacked once. Duke did not record what's called a quarterback hurry. That's when, you know, they force a quick pass. And I actually have a stat for that. No quarterback hurries for Duke, just one sack. Offensive line cleared the way for that great running game. Defense, I gave a B+. 342 yards, 4.4 yards per play. The one area to improve, and we'll talk about this later with Clemson, is limiting the big plays. There were a couple of big plays in this game for Duke that accounted for a lot of their offense. But the run game got an A, 55 yards on the stat line for the rushing game. Pass defense, I gave a B. And really, I'm sure people are going to say, wow, they had five interceptions and you're giving them a B. The one long touchdown pass, I graded down for that. The 55-yard touchdown pass was blown coverage. I had to grade down for that. There was the 10-yard touchdown pass after the turnover in the third quarter that, again, was a blown coverage. You got to be fair. I'm being fair when I say that. The special teams, I gave a B- only because Tavares Kelly fumbled the opening kickoff. Punter Nash Griffin had a decent day. Brian Delaney was good from 32 yards on his only field goal of the day. So overall, I mean, yeah, overall good performance for this Virginia team against the Duke team. It's 0-3, but you know, it's David Cutcliffe's one of the best coaches in college football. So yeah, there's a lot to like there. There's a lot to still work on. There's a lot to like out of that Duke win.
So another thing you wrote about this week was the key to remaining competitive in this game is to establish the run early. You know, you said that in the fourth quarter, of course, when UVA played Duke last week, especially in the fourth quarter, they managed to do that. But of course, against Clemson, you can't wait till the fourth quarter to really get your groove on. So what do you think as far as that goes? And also, you know, one of the disadvantages that you wrote about too was this long day that they're going to have. You know, the one advantage for night games for us fans is that we can, you know, we can watch the game in prime time. But of course, for a team that's on the road, it means a lot of sitting and waiting.
Okay, let's take that element first, because that's an off the field element, though, that's important. I mean, you know, of course, when we're watching the game, you're not thinking about the esoteric stuff off the field, you know, how they travel there and that kind of thing. You just assume that your favorite team, whether it be a college football team or NFL or baseball or NBA or whatever, you just assume they're always there and that's all they do is play their sports. But yeah, it's going to be a long day tomorrow. You know, today, Friday, would be travel day to get down there. And then you play tomorrow night. And Bronco Mendenhall said this on Monday in his press conference, his weekly press conference. He said he hates night games anyway, especially road night games. I mean, at home, at least you're still, you know, you're still in your, you're sleeping in your dorm or in your apartment. You know, you can do your normal things, but when you're on the road in a normal year, when you're on the road and you play at night, you know, it's a long day. I mean, you wake up, you have breakfast, you have lunch, you have dinner, and then you go to the stadium and start stretching everything else. In this era, this one year where, you know, you can't quite do the same things as you usually do, you know, it's going to be a long day in a hotel. So instead of having the team breakfast in the big ballroom in the hotel, whatever nice hotel they're staying in around Clemson, they're going to be going in little groups and getting a box breakfast. Then a couple hours later, they'll go down and get a box lunch, and they'll be eating them alone with their roommate in their room. And then, you know, then they go to the stadium eventually after dinner. And you know, the one saving grace Bronco mentioned was at least there's other football games on during the day, so they can kind of divert their attention and watch the other games during the day. But yeah, it's going to be a long day in a hotel room going stir crazy, where again, the Clemson kids, they're in their apartments, they're in their dorm rooms, presumably. Sometimes teams, coaches will put a team up in a hotel. I doubt this year you'll do that. Even on home games, you'll do that. But I doubt you'll do that this year because of the strangeness of the COVID era we're in, this short-term COVID era we're in. But yeah, that said, yeah, it's going to be a long day for those guys. But actually, today and tomorrow, travel day today, and then tomorrow up until 8 o'clock. Long day. So yeah, for us fans, it's great to be able to watch a game at night, but for those players, tomorrow's will be agonizingly long.
Yeah, and sorry I threw so much at you there, but the first part of the question about establishing the run game early, how do you feel about that and UVA's opportunity to do that? We kind of expected, as you said, for there to be a little bit of rust in this first game against Duke. Again, it was their first game playing. It was, you know, certainly Duke had had the opportunity to play other games in advance of this, so we had expected a little bit of that. But, you know, so we might say UVA got off to a slow start, but that wasn't unexpected.
Yeah, last week, they played well, they won the game, they won it in the fourth quarter. And, you know, a big part of winning it in the fourth quarter, Bronco Mendenhall talked about this, a couple of players talked about this week that we were on Zooms with. They felt like, I mean, Bronco felt like that the conditioning work that they had done really all offseason, and then when they got on grounds in July and through camp, he felt like his team was in great shape considering the circumstances. You know, I mean, it was not a normal offseason. You didn't have your normal strength and conditioning from, you know, January through March through the summer on. But he felt like his read of his team in training camp was, we're in pretty good shape. And, of course, Duke had already played two games, and it was their third game on Saturday. And they were the team to tire out in the third and fourth quarters, whereas the Virginia team was still running strong. I bring that up to think about this. Now, Clemson was off last week. They've played twice already this year. They beat Wake Forest 37-13 in a game that was 37-0 early in the third quarter, and Dabo Swinney took his starters out and gave them a rest. They beat the Citadel the next week. It was another blowout game. Similar situation. The starters played a couple quarters, and then the reserves took over. So, I mean, you do that because you're winning big and you don't want anybody to get hurt. And you want to preserve their legs for later on. But what you're also doing in that kind of situation is, if this game tomorrow night is, it'll be Clemson's first test. They're playing a team that they played in a championship game situation last year. If Clemson, if somehow Virginia stays in this game into the second half, let's say it's a one-score game in the second half, Virginia's already played one game, and they played four quarters of that game. Their starters had to play the whole four quarters, and they won the game in the fourth quarter with their conditioning and strength. Clemson hasn't been tested in that way. Bronco Mendenhall's pretty confident in his team's ability to play four quarters. So that's where the run game comes in. If Virginia can establish the run early, you know, fans love the passing game, the ball's flying around in the air, goes down the field quickly, everything else. But a team that can get 4, 5, 6 yards on a run and do that consistently, you know, your offensive linemen are leaning on the defensive linemen and linebackers. They're pushing them backwards. The linemen are on their heels, the backers are on their heels. Your safeties are cheating up. They're getting hit hard in the holes. It's a physical game. In first quarter, second quarter, you know, you're fine. Third quarter, you start to tire a little bit. It's kind of like in boxing, you know. In boxing, just like in football. I mean, in boxing, you know, the punch to the head is what you like. Just like in football, you like the pass. But it's the punch to the guts, the punches to the ribs that wear a boxer down. And then their hands drop. And then at the end of the fight, their hands are down and they get – susceptible to those headshots. You know, a football team kind of works the same way. If Virginia can go out there and kind of punch them in the gut a little bit with those runs and consistently get through the game, they can wear this Clemson team down. That's the only, I mean, honestly, if you're drawing up a blueprint, that's the fighting chance Virginia's got, is if they can get a running game going early and avoid the big play, which we'll talk about, that's the way Virginia wins this game.
So we're going to talk about that in just a minute, the avoiding the big plays. But I wanted to talk about some individual players first. Back from what you were just talking about, though, you know, for me, I'm always about, you've watched enough football games with me, I'm always about the tackle the quarterback, sack the quarterback. You know, UVA was very successful with that, you know, five sacks, I believe, last week against Duke. So, you know, if they can bring the same kind of pressure to Clemson, certainly that could throw Trevor Lawrence off a great deal. Of course, it's a different team. So I wanted to talk a little bit about our quarterback, UVA's quarterback, Brennan Armstrong. You know, he's looking a lot like Bryce Perkins in how he plays the game. And, of course, they're doing a very similar offense, as you talked about a little while ago. You know, he was 8 for 9 in the fourth quarter versus Duke, as we said, a very strong fourth quarter, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns. He ran for 47 yards. As we talked about, he needs to be strong in all four quarters. Did they talk about that on your Zoom this week? And did you get an opportunity to get a feel for how they feel going into this game versus Clemson?
You know, Brennan wasn't available this week via Zoom, but we talked with Robert and I, the offensive coordinator, of course, Bronco Mendenhall. I'm trying to think who the other offensive player we talked with was this week. Wasn't Terrell Jena. But the sense that we got was that there's confidence around Brennan. It was his first game. His passes early, I noted this watching the game live on TV, that he didn't look like he was sort of finishing his throws. He was kind of throwing sidearm and he wasn't stepping into his throws as well. He got better at that as the game went on, and a little bit of that is the game seems fast when you're out there the first time as a starter. He'd been in roles where he was a backup in limited action. But when you're the starter and you're the guy, the game can seem fast. It seemed like it slowed down quickly for him. By the fourth quarter, he was in complete control of everything as far as that goes. And so, the offense, the playbook is open. I mean, one advantage Clemson's got is, since Virginia showed the offense last week, I mean, it's very similar to the way it was run with Bryce Perkins. One difference is Brennan Armstrong's left-handed, Bryce Perkins is right-handed. So maybe you flip things around just a little bit because of the strengths and abilities of that quarterback and that kind of thing. But, the offense has weapons. Virginia lost from last year's group. They lost Aziz Dubois and Joe Reed, two of their best wide receivers. You still have Terrell Janda back. You also have, I'm sure we'll talk about him in a second, Lavelle Davis Jr.
Ooh, he's the next one that I'm going to ask you about.
Quite the find there. And then you've got Tony Poljan, the tight end, big 6'7" tight end. You got a couple of huge targets he didn't have last year. And one thing that Brennan Armstrong has got that Bryce Perkins didn't have is a running game behind him. So he doesn't need to do it all. Brennan doesn't need to be Bryce Perkins. Bryce Perkins was the offense for 2 years. Brennan has to be the quarterback. And he's got to, get the ball to the right guys when he's throwing. He can move the chains with his feet when he's running. He's got running backs to hand the ball off to. Wayne Talapapa, Shane Simpson had a good game last week in relief of Talapapa. He had 8 carries for 38 yards in the backfield. So, Brennan doesn't need to be everything in this offense, but he played pretty well. I think there's a lot of confidence there with him.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk a little bit about Lavelle Davis Jr. We said last week, wow, what a surprise it was to see him on the field. I mean, immediately he had a presence just with his height alone. Because practices, had been closed, they hadn't played a game prior to Duke. I think that when we all saw him in action, wow, you couldn't help but be impressed. And I think that he is going to continue to do some amazing things for UVA this season, as long as he can stay healthy. In the game against Duke, he caught 4 passes for 101 yards, 2 touchdowns. This guy has hands. I mean, I can't even tell you. Large hands, his catch radius, you joked that spans half the continent. A 3-star prep recruit. But wow, what a game he had against Duke. And just what a so much excitement I think it brings to the program to see a player like that in action. What do you expect from him in this Clemson game, Chris?
He's a matchup for them now. They've got to account for him. When we saw his name on the 2-deep last week, I have to admit, had heard nothing of the young man. And because of training camp being the way it was this year, because of COVID and, reporters not being on the scene like we normally would be in a preseason where you at least get a glimpse of things going on. You'd have seen this kid and said, wait a second, what's that? Who is a 6'7" kid with arms that can stretch as far as Stretch Armstrong who – the ball, when he catches it, looks like a baseball in his hands. He's got such big hands. Who's that guy, and how did we get him? And Bronco Mendenhall said, and actually, too, Nick Grant was on Zoom with us. He's a cornerback, senior cornerback, fifth-year senior cornerback. And he said, man, that kid, you saw him for the first time on Saturday against Duke, but we've been seeing that for weeks in practice. He makes those plays all the time. And so the players knew it. The coaches knew it. We didn't know it. And then we saw it. He graded out. Pro Football Focus graded him out at an 87.5 rating. That's top 10 in the country through 1 week. And he had 0 drop passes. He had 4 catches, 101 yards, 2 touchdowns. Had another one called back that I thought looked like it would have been a 28-yard catch that I thought the replay official got wrong. What he does now, because now you have tape of him, he's 6'7", 210. He's got speed. He's got size. He's got the huge hands. And so now if you're Clemson, you got to start thinking. I mean, you're presented with that matchup at 6'7", most cornerbacks who guard, the guys who defend against wide receivers, cornerbacks are usually 5'10", 5'11", at best 6 feet tall. So, I mean, you need speedy guys at that position. and your speed, your guys generally are that guys that size. He's got 7, 8, 9 inches on those guys. And so you can't cover him one-on-one. So what you got to do with him is you got to put a cornerback on him and then put safety help behind him. Mm-hmm. What that does, when you have to have two guys thinking about Lavelle Davis, is now there's also Tony Poljan. I'll throw him in just because in the context of the discussion about Lavelle Davis, Tony Poljan, 6'7", 265, a tight end. He had 4 catches, 44 yards last week. You really can't cover him with a linebacker. You have to put a safety over top of him too. So all of a sudden, there's two guys who are eating up four. That's why your running game can be so effective. That's why other receivers can be more effective. Terrell Jannon didn't have a great game last week, but you know, if Clemson puts a lot of focus on Lavelle Davis and on Tony Poljan, look for Terrell Jannon to have a big game. Look for the running game to have a good day. So, yeah, I mean, keep this kid healthy, keep Tony Poljan healthy, this offense opens way up again beyond anything we saw last year.
So, again, with last year, you know, tailback Wayne Talapapa, you know, he performed good last year, but his performance in Duke's game was perhaps much better than we had expected for him. You know, he's a native Hawaiian. He said that he's been doing, he trained during COVID when he was there alone, kind of running in the sand because that's what he had, you know. But he ran for a career high 95 yards, 16 carries, 2 rushing touchdowns in the game against Duke. Certainly very impressive. His rushing attack, 188 yards on the day. I mean, you can only say good things about his performance in the game as well, Chris. How do you expect him to impact the game against Clemson as well?
Yeah, I wouldn't have said going into last week that I didn't expect a lot out of Talapapa. We just didn't know who would get the bulk of the carries between him and Shane Simpson. Shane Simpson, a grad transfer from Towson, who was an FCS All-American 2 years ago. I expected Talapapa would have gotten most of the carries. But I expected a running game to be effective because the offensive line is so good. It's the most experienced offensive line in the ACC coming back this year. So I expected they would clear holes in Talapapa. Now, that said, I thought they'd clear holes for him. He exceeded what I thought, even given that I expected a lot out of the offense, out of the running offense last week. And we did note the training in the sand dunes. You know, Crystal, we were at the beach about a month ago, and it doesn't seem like it was that long ago. It seems like it was just yesterday. But, you know, I did a long run one day on the beach, and, man, I run every day. I run 5, 6, 7 miles every day. I ran 6 miles that day, and it pooped me completely because running on the beach is different than – running in the sand is so different than running on pavement. And so – you know, spend a few months doing that. I mean, I remember joking last week, there were 2 or 3 plays where Talapapa just completely carried the pile with him. He the one touchdown, he had guys on his shoulders running them in the end zone. And I said, man, somebody was doing their squats in the offseason. Turns out it wasn't squats, it was sand running. But he clearly came into this season in incredible physical condition and had a great game. And so he's another guy. Again, I think with the passing game, with the two matchup exploitations that Virginia has with Lavelle Davis Jr. and Tony Poljan at wide receiver and tight end, that opens things up. And Virginia needs thus to be able to run the ball to take advantage of that. And Talapapa, and then I'll throw Shane Simpson in there again too. Those two guys, I expect, will have good days, good nights tomorrow night.
So one bad thing, of course, that happened in the fourth quarter of UVA's game versus Duke last week was that senior safety Joey Blunt was helped off the field in the fourth quarter. Any update on his status going into this game versus Clemson?
Yeah, co-defensive coordinator Nick Howell said on Wednesday that Blunt had been he's been a full go in practice all week, which means he's been practicing as normal all week. And so that's a good sign. That means he's playing. I mean, if he's a full go in practice, he's playing. There were indications even Saturday night after the game that it seemed like he was helped off the field, didn't look good. But he seems like he's going to be a full go. And that's important. I mean, he's a guy, he's a William Campbell Trophy semifinalist. That William Campbell Trophy is given out to college football's top scholar athlete. And so, I mean, he's a preseason All-ACC type performer. I think he was third team all ACC last season. A lot was expected of him on the football field. He's also a great student. And in fact, he graduated from UVA in 3 years. He's already in graduate school. He's only in his fourth year, didn't redshirt. He's been on grounds. This is his fourth year on grounds, already graduated, already he's working towards his master's degree in education at the Curry School. Smart guy. You want him on the field. There's depth back there. They have depth in the secondary this year that didn't have last year. But he's an important guy to have out there. It looks like he'll be ready.
All right, Chris, we promised we were going to talk about this. UVA said this week that the key to winning is limiting the big plays. What does that mean for UVA?
Well, I mean, you know, I ran the numbers on this. It was emphasized and reemphasized. Bronco Mendenhall talked about this. Nick Howell talked about this. And Nick Grant talked about this in their Zooms with us this week. We've got to limit the big plays. So it's clearly a point of emphasis within the program. We've got to limit the big plays. And you know, every offense, I mean, to some degree, relies on big plays to move the ball. It's not like you gain 4 yards every play if you're a successful team. You know, you have a couple of missteps and then you have a 20-yard game. Last year's game in Charlotte, I ran the numbers. Clemson ran 67 offensive snaps last year in that game. 21 of those plays were 10 yards or more plays, either runs or passes. Those 21 plays of the 67, Clemson gained 511 of their 619 yards of offense. And so clearly, the big play is an essential part of the what Clemson did to Virginia last year. And so limiting the big plays this year will be a focal point for this Virginia defense, you know. And I didn't run the numbers similarly now that I'm thinking about it. I showed it for the Duke game. And Duke gained 342 yards against Virginia. Clearly not as many big plays. There was that 55-yard touchdown pass in the, I think it was the first quarter, that got Duke on the scoreboard early. But for the most part, Virginia was able to limit the damage from big plays overall in that game. But Clemson is different than Duke. Clemson's not Duke. I mean, in basketball, they're not the same either. But in this, we're playing football. Clemson's got all the elite athletes. They've got Trevor Lawrence, who's going to be their number one pick of the draft next year. They got Travis Etienne, probably be a top five pick of the draft next year, running back. And you know, they've got the cast of characters on the wideouts and the speed and everything else. And so, yeah, you've got to limit it. You've got, you know, you've got to put pressure on Lawrence. You've got to make him get rid of the ball a little earlier than he wants to. If you can contain Etienne, you can't stop this team. You're not gonna shut out Clemson. You're not gonna hold Clemson to, you know, 14 points or 17 points or 20 points. But if you can slow them down, if you can maybe force a turnover or two, you know, last year Clemson had 17 turnovers in 15 games. They've had two through two games this year. They don't turn it over a lot. But if you can get them to have a couple of turnovers, if you can get them into second and longs and third and mediums, and you know, maybe put some pressure on Lawrence. Make a punt. I mean, don't be greedy. We're not going to get seven turnovers against Clemson like we got against Duke last week. But if you can get them off the field some, get a short field here and there, that's the way to win this game. You know, run a strong running game and a defense that slows them down, not necessarily stops them, but slows them down enough to let you keep up.
Okay, Chris, the UVA players, according to what you've said in your columns this week, are looking forward to this game, especially those who played last year when they played in the ACC championship game. They're looking for a chance to measure, a chance to grow. You know, Clemson is really going to get UVA's best shot in this game. Is there a chance for an upset?
I think so, and I'm crazy. You know, I'm not wearing orange or blue now. I always like to say see the world through orange and blue glasses, and I do. I do. I mean, to me, the 27.5-point margin is a bit ridiculous. I mean, it's because it's Clemson. It's because it's Virginia. Last year, the final score was 62-17. The game wasn't that close. These are not the same two teams. I mean, Clemson's – I mean, Dabo Swinney will tell you that. He's not going to disrespect Virginia. He knows – I mean, Virginia in that game last year, losing 62-17, put up 389 yards offense. That was the first time all season until that point that Clemson had given up over 300 yards offense. Virginia moved the ball against Clemson last year. Yeah, they gave up big plays, couldn't stop them. A lot of the injuries on defense, you know, made the defense struggle a bit. You know, the defensive players particularly, you know, we've, again, been on Zoom conference calls with these guys since late March. They didn't get spring practice. The folks at UVA in the media relations department have been putting us in contact with them. And we've been on the, you know, on the long line from Zoom constantly, repeatedly, continuously for 6 months. And I'll tell you, dating back to the first time we were on a Zoom with a UVA player, they have been pointing to, they wanted to play Clemson. They felt like they left something on the table last year. You know, they were 9-3 after the win over Virginia Tech. In the regular season finale, they got in the ACC championship game. That meant they were going to go to the Orange Bowl. You know, they laid the egg in the ACC championship game. They lost the Orange Bowl game. They were more competitive in that one, but still the defense got gashed a bit in that game. The defensive players took it personally. Like they know that the defense was supposed to be the strong part of that team last year, and they felt like they let the offense down with the way they played in those last two games. those guys took it personally. And I think they're wearing that right now as the badge of motivation. They want to go out there tomorrow night. And they don't want to slow them down. They don't want to listen to me and say, well, you can't stop Clemson and you only slow them down. They want to go out there and stop Clemson. And they think they've got the talent over there to do that. And so, hey, you know, when guys believe in something, who am I to tell them they shouldn't believe in that? I look at this and I say, if Virginia goes out and can establish a running game and pound Clemson in the mouth a little bit, punch him in the mouth a little bit, punch him in the gut a little bit on when Virginia has the ball, convert, don't turn the ball over. And get some scores early, get a score or two early, and then get out there on defense. You know, you don't have to stop Etienne if you can just keep him in front of you. Keep, instead of letting him break off a couple of 15, 20, 30-yard runs, if his big runs are 6, 7, 8 yards, you can keep him consistently in the 3 to 4 yard range. 3-4 defense is built to slow the rundown so that, you know, you have more linebackers, you have more speed on the field. They can do that. If you can get him on first down to run for a yard or two and put them in second and long and make Lawrence have to drop back and maybe put pressure on him, you know, you got Charles Snowden on one side, you got Noah Taylor on the other side, two big guys, Snowden 6'7", an outside linebacker, and Taylor 6'5", an outside linebacker. They can put pressure on, they can drop back in coverage, create a turnover too. You know, there's a formula out there to win this game. Clemson has a game every year. They lost a game a few years ago, one of their national championship season. They lost to Pitt at home. 2018, the last time they won a championship, they were down by 10 points late in the fourth quarter. Syracuse came back, rallied, stormed back, and won that game 27-23. They have a game every year where they overlook an opponent and end up either paying the price or almost paying the price. Why not Virginia? Why not this game? So I think that there's a chance. I'm giving them a chance. Crystal, I'm saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. Chris Graham, there's a chance. We need to put that as a headline somewhere or something. So just a reminder, in-state rival Virginia Tech plays Duke on the ACC network. That's going to be at 4 p.m. on Saturday. That game for Virginia Tech is also their first road game, so we'll get a chance to see Duke again. For those of you tuning in to watch a Virginia versus Clemson, that game's at 8 p.m. It's going to be a late night, Chris. What kind of coverage can folks expect from you following the game? I imagine most people will be reading it Sunday morning, but for those who stay up late, what can they expect from Augusta Free Press?
Yeah, one, I'll be up way late after the game. So Let's just presume that my wacky prediction that Virginia can win this game comes to fruition and you can't get to sleep Saturday night into Sunday morning. Stay awake with me and I'll be writing a good bit after that game. But yeah, last week we kind of set the agenda for what we're going to do this season. We'll have a game story. We'll have columns basically breaking down. One will break down the offensive performance. One will break down the defensive performance. We'll find maybe a star of the game and kind of write about that star of the game perhaps, and then we'll do our grades and we'll see if we can do a post game as well, whether it's you're hosting or Jeff Fife's hosting or I'm doing it with Scott German. We're gonna have a post game of some sort to break things down, which is good timing. We're always waiting for the quotes to come in and me to be able to transcribe the Zooms and everything else, so it's gonna be a late night for me. But even though I'll be, probably up until 3 or 4 in the morning, I'll be on win or lose. It's something that's fun to do. It's, on this, for Virginia to be on this stage and playing Clemson, it's still fun to wrap your head around the idea that we're playing sports. For the longest time, a lot of sports writers even said there wouldn't be college football this year. We're playing college football. Virginia's playing Clemson, number one team in the country in their place. Don't overlook that. It's just great that we're even playing the game. And who knows? I mean, I think Virginia might surprise folks tomorrow night.
All right. Well, for Augusta Free Press and Chris Graham, I'm Crystal Graham. We want to thank you for tuning in to Street Knowledge this week for our preview of the UVA-Clemson game. And again, join us post-game as we break down how Virginia does versus Clemson Saturday night.